Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Just celebrated 5 years in Mobile this past May. Just loving God and loving what He's doing. I believe so many times in life we become complacent on what God's done, and we become satisfied with what He's doing. We have to back up and we remind ourselves that He's not done. He's not finished. He wants to do more. We're good where we're at. We're comfortable where we're at, but He wants to do more. There's more people that need to be changed. There's more lives that need to be saved. There's more people that need to hear about Jesus. And I believe, and I can see it this morning during worship and during prayer time, and just the youth, the young people that God's using. I believe that God's fixing to put this nation in a state of revival. But I believe it's going to be the young people that He's going to give the torch to carry. Right? And I believe God's raising up a generation of worship leaders. And I believe God's raising up a generation of preachers. And God's raising up a generation of teachers that are going to speak His truth to this world, because what this world needs is truth. So many times we get caught up in comfort. Right? So many times as pastors and preachers, we have a tendency to preach comfort because we want our seats full. But guess what? People don't need comfort. They need truth. And sometimes the truth hurts, and that's a good thing. So guess what we're going to do this morning? We're going to preach truth. Right? And I hope that you feel a little bit of conviction. I hope that you feel a little bit, because why? That's my job. That's my job. Not to make you feel comfortable. Right? But man, we're just so excited. Hey, my family's here with me. Sometimes they get to travel with me whenever I'm up this way. Sometimes they don't. Man, we just come out of one of the toughest, busiest months of our 12-month year. Man, my daughter, she's an avid softball player. And in the month of June, she always plays in tournaments that usually run Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so our month has been crazy. Actually, this is the first time I've preached in about, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. So I'm excited, but they're with me today, just loving life and loving Jesus. Amen. Madison, she's over in the kids area. Amy said, hey, why don't you come over here with us? And she's like one of those people that doesn't want to leave her brother, right? Wants to make sure he's comfortable, wants to make sure he's good. So they're over there, we're over here. Pastor Shane's with us this morning. I always love him. Amen. I said somebody, man, that people ask me, hey, how do you know that guy? I'm telling them, that's my brother. That's my brother. That's my friend, man. He knows how I feel about him and whatnot, so we won't go there. But that's funny. Oh, man. Hey, look, I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning. And next Sunday, I'm starting a new series in my church, or in Gateway North Mobile, titled Supernatural. Supernatural. But when it comes to the supernatural things of life, we have a tendency sometimes to only look at one side, and that's the supernatural things of God. Right? And we have to remind ourselves, if heaven is real, that means there's what? There's also a hell that's real. Okay? And when we leave this life and go to the next one, we're going to go to one of those two places. There's not a holding spot. Right? And so when we focus on the supernatural, we have a tendency to focus on the miracles and all these different things. But I want to share with you this morning, part one of that series, it's all about spiritual warfare. It's all about spiritual warfare. I believe that there is a battle for your soul that happens 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't know it, but right now there is a battle for your soul. Right? And so what we want to talk about this morning is what that looks like. How do we adapt to that? Where do we go? Right? So let's pray. God, we love you. And God, we thank you for today, Lord. We just pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd speak to our minds, that you'd change us, God. That you'd make us new, that you would make us who you want us to be when we leave this place in just a few minutes. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How many of you guys have ever noticed that when you're doing everything right for God, right? When you're doing everything God's called you to do, God wants you to do, it seems like your life begins to sometimes unravel. Right? And it could be your marriage, it could be relationships, it could be family, it could be finances, it could be health. So many times when we look at life and we begin to really adapt and adopt and really walk in what God's called us to do, life has a tendency to get tough. And it's not by accident, it's not by mistake. It's because just as much as Jesus wants you to live for Him, there's an enemy out there that wants you to live for Him. Right? And what that enemy does, what the devil does, is he takes and we've all heard the illustration, he begins to paint a target on your back. And he says, okay, hey, there's Paul. Paul's got value, and if I'm not careful, I could lose Paul. But not only could I lose Paul, I could lose many other people. So he begins to attack and attack and attack and attack and attack. And we look at it as unfair sometimes, and we find ourselves asking God, God, why would you allow this to happen? Right? But really, we should count it as joy. Because why? Because we're doing everything right. Amen? You see, we don't like to count it as joy. It's not comfortable to consider it joy when we face persecution. It's not comfortable to consider it joy when we face trial. But I think it's necessary because that's where you grow. That's where growth takes place. And so this morning, that's where we're going to be looking at. You may be like me, and we'll look at that question again. You may be like me, and when those things begin to happen to you, you ask yourself this question, God, why does the enemy like me so much? Right? I can't get this dude to go away. He just comes back. It always means you're doing something right. Way we look at, way we teach it, way we talk about it is if you're not being attacked, then you're not doing anything right. You're not doing something right. Right? So that's where we're going to be going this morning. So if you got your Bibles, you can open them up. You can follow along on the screen or on your notes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 4. It says this, for we what? For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Right? Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. We got it? There it is. It says this, finally, be what? Be what? In who? In the Lord and in His mighty power. You see, so many times when we face difficult situations and difficult moments, we try to rely on ourselves. But the Bible doesn't tell us to be strong in yourself. It says what? Be strong in the Lord. Why? Because it's His job and He has the power and the authority to bring you through it. It may not be comfortable. It may not be easy. But baby, He's going to get you through it. You're going to be okay. Right? So we got to depend on His power and His strength. Let's go to, is there another part of that? Did y'all put that in there? There we go. It says this, be strong, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against what? The devil's schemes. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, in life, whenever we go through difficult moments, we think, hey, I brought this on. Well, we got to look at Job. I love Job. I love Job and I love Job's life and I love the things and the lessons we learned from Job. Right, because Job sometimes, I believe, was just like us. God allowed things to happen to Job that weren't fair. Right? God allowed things to happen that I'm sure Job did not care for, but God said, hey, you can do whatever you want to, but what? Just don't touch him. Just don't harm him. Right? And so Job lost his family. Job lost his home. Job lost his way of living. Right? He lost everything he had. But he still remained faithful. He still remained faithful to God. Right? And so many times, that's what we have to remind ourselves. It may not be what I want it to be. It may not be right. It may not be what I think it ought to be. But God, I'm going to remain faithful to you. A lot of times whenever when we read that story of Job and when we look at that text, there's a part that we miss. Right? Job's having a conversation with his wife. And his wife says, hey, Job, why don't you just curse God and die. Just curse Him and die. And I love this part. You know why I love this part? Because He says, you foolish woman. Right? I tried that with my wife one time. It didn't really work. I'm just kidding. But He said this, and this is, I think, what we miss so many times. He said, why should we just accept the good things from God and not the bad? Why should we just accept the good and not the bad? You see, when it comes to the enemy, man, he's always got a plan. He's always got a scheme. He's always got a way that he's going to try to destroy you, devour you, hurt you, get rid of you, make you quit, make you turn your back. But I think so many times we have to have the Job mentality and say, hey, regardless of what happens, regardless of what takes place, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. God, regardless of what my health looks like, regardless of what my finances look like, regardless of what my family looks like, God, I'm faithful. And I'm going to remain faithful. Why? Because He's always been faithful to us. He's always been faithful to us. You know, when you look around and you ask yourself, man, I wish God could do this. And so many times we find ourselves at a place to where we find ourselves comparing who we are to other people. Right? Well, I wish I had what they had. Or I wish I had what they had. Or I wish I had what they had. Right? And we feel like we're at a place that we don't have enough. But I'm always reminded that my family, we always have a roof over our head. We always have plenty to eat. We always have plenty of gas in the car to get us where we want. We always have enough to pay our bills, so we're blessed. That shows what? That shows that God is faithful. Even when we don't think it, He's faithful. If you're taking notes, as one of you see a spot there that says, that refers to what you see is not all that's there, right? What you see is not all there is. There's a battle. We talked about it a second ago. There's a battle going on for your soul. Right, there's a battle taking place. There's an enemy that wants you to live for Him. There's an enemy that wants you to serve Him. And we don't see so many times the protection that God gives us. Right? Yesterday, this is crazy. I've got witnesses. I'm not just telling this story. But it usually takes me about 3 hours, 3.5 hours to get here. Right? To get from Mobile to Birmingham, because it's just the most boringest ride in the world. Straight up Interstate 65. Right? They should build something. I don't know what they should build, but it should be something. But it took us 5 hours to get from Mobile to Birmingham yesterday. Traffic was tough. Traffic was rough. But we're traveling, and Madison, she says, well, if we'd have left at 9 o'clock like we were supposed to, we wouldn't be sitting here stuck in traffic right now. Right? But oh, little did she know that maybe, just maybe, that's God's protection. Huh? Maybe because we left an hour later than we were supposed to, God said, you know what? Hey, I'm protecting you. I'm keeping you safe. Right? So what we see is not all there is. There's always more to it. In your life, there's always more to it than what you see. There's a reason you go through things. There's a reason you face battles. There's a reason you face trials. There's a reason you face temptations. Right, but when it comes to life, we've got to know, number one, that you're not alone in your battles. You're not alone. Right? Carrie Job sings a song and it says, what? I am not alone. I'm not alone. You'll go before me. You'll never leave me. Right? So what's that mean? That means that He's always paving a way. He's always making a way. Even when we don't get it, even when we don't understand it, even when it doesn't seem right, even when we want to go left and God says go this way, He's always making a way. His Word says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll stick closer to you than your brother. Huh? He'll never leave us. But God, you don't know where I'm at. God, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, He does. God, you don't see where I'm at. God, you don't understand. Yeah, He does. Why? Because He's not left you. Right? What I've learned in my life is whenever I feel like God's leaving me, when God's separating Himself from me, it's not God at all. It's me. Right? And that's what we have a tendency to do, is we have a tendency to begin to drift from God. We have a tendency to begin to not understand why things don't go His way or go the way we want them to. And we begin to turn our back on His way. And we begin to separate ourselves from God. And that's why we feel alone. But church, really the truth is we're not alone in your battle. You're not alone. Right? 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17. Said when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning. An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Go to the next one. There we go. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are what? With us are more than those who are with them. You know what that tells me? He who is in me. He who dwells in me, He who abides in me, He who rests with me is greater than he that's in the world. But we don't trust Him so many times. And we think our way is better. And we think our way is best. But He says, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. If you just be patient, I'm with you. If you just withstand it for a second, I'm with you. Scripture goes on to say, and Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Why? Because he doesn't want to leave me alone. He wants to, you know, when Jesus, when he said, hey, when he told his disciples, hey, I'm leaving, I'm fixing to check out, I'm done. He didn't say, I'm leaving you alone. He said, what? I'm sending you a what? A comforter. And I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Right? So Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm leaving, but I'm sending you. I'm sending. So number one, you're not alone. Number two, your prayers are far more powerful than you know. Your prayers are far more powerful than you know. Anybody ever prayed for something but hadn't seen it happen? Huh? Man, we used to live in Clanton, and we used to youth pastor at a church in Clanton, and there was this lady. Every Sunday she'd come to the altar, little old lady, she'd come to the altar, and she'd pray, and she'd pray, and she'd pray. And finally, I just asked her one Sunday, I said, hey, what are we praying about? She said, Pastor, she said, every Sunday I come here, and I pray for my son. She said, I pray for my son. I said, is there any specific thing we're praying for your son? No, I'm just praying that he'll find Jesus. You know what she told me? She said, I've been praying that prayer. What is that? She said, I've been praying that prayer for 27 years. I've been praying that prayer for 27 years. Every Sunday, she'd come to an altar, she'd pray. She'd come to an altar, she'd pray. Through the way life works, she went on to meet the Lord. Guess what happened? A little while later, her son gave his life to Jesus. Why? Because her prayers were more powerful than she could ever think or imagine. And her prayer outlived her. Right? And I think that's what we miss so many times. We begin to pray for things. We begin to seek things. We begin to ask God for things. And we begin to say, okay, this has to happen now. And God says, it's just not ready. It's not time for it to happen now. Right? And we begin to give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep praying. Why? Because your prayers outlive you, because they're more powerful than you know. Amen? Daniel 10, verse 12 says, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you begin to pray for understanding. Anybody pray for understanding? Huh? I've learned it's not our job to understand. It's our job to be obedient and walk through the season of life that we're in. Right? We don't have to understand it to walk in it. Where are we at? For understanding and to humble yourself before God. Your request has been made heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. Go to the next one. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Go to the next one. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future. Of this vision, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. You see, we don't have to understand it. I'm going to be honest with you. If you ever know me, you know that I don't have the best attention in the world. I'm here one minute, here the next minute, over here the next minute, right? We go to conference. I go to a conference every year with Pastor Jonathan, man, and it's like torture to me, right? I love people. And I love to hear people talk, but I don't want to hear you talk for 3 hours, right? Because like I've checked out, man, right? You have lost me after about 10 minutes, right? And so many times in our lives, we begin to focus and focus and focus and focus, and we begin to pray for this, and we begin to pray for this, and we begin to pray for this, and we try to understand this, and God says, "Hey, quit trying and let me handle it. Quit trying to make a way. You're not a way maker. He is, huh?" You're not a waymaker. He is. And we focus so much on this thing, this problem that we have in life, this person, whatever it is, we focus on it that we forget about everything else. And the only thing we can understand is this. And God says, quit. Quit. Let me be God. You just walk in life. You understand where you are right now in the season that you're in. Your prayers are far more powerful than you know. So we're talking about the enemy. We're talking about spiritual warfare, Right? So when it comes to the devil, we all know that just as real as God is, the devil's also just as real. Right? And he wants you. He wants you, he wants you, he wants you. And he's not going to quit. He's not going to give up. Right? He's not going to back down. Every day you wake up, he's going to give you a new trial. Every day you wake up, he's going to give you a new temptation. Every day you wake up, he's going to give you a new battle. Right? So what does the devil do? What's he do? Number one, he blinds the minds of unbelievers. He blinds the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, the God, not big G, little g, right? The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. He's blinded them so they can't see the light of the gospel. But you know whose job it is to help them see the light of the gospel? That's our job. That's our job to reach out and help them understand the light of the gospel that that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see, the enemy's blinding unbelievers. Why? Because he knows that time's running out. That's all he has left. Right? If I could just hold on, if I can't lose any more to Jesus, if I can't lose any more, then I'll be okay. And I bet right now he's panicking. Right? Because I believe this. I believe we're living in the last days. Right? If you turn on your TV, if you pick up a newspaper, if you turn on the internet, you see that things that are happening in this world line up with things that say will happen in this book. Right? And so he's running out of time and he's saying, hey, I've got to blind the unbelievers. I've got to blind them. I've got to put a blind covering over them. I've got to guard their eyes. They can't see the light of the gospel. Because if they see the light of the gospel, I'm in trouble. Our job's to help them. Right? We all know people around us all the time that are blinded by the enemy. Right? I tell people all the time that the reason you can't walk away from your sin is because you love your sin. You love what you love what it is you do. You love you know whatever it is, it's got a pull on you. You can't shake it loose, and you're not going to be able to on your own. But only until you give in to Jesus and let him take it will you be able to lose it and rid of it. And they've become blinded. You see, we live in a generation today, we live in a society today where anything has the tendency to blind people. Right? I love social media. I love because I can communicate, I can connect, I can follow up, I can do all these things, but it's one of the biggest blindfolds that the enemy uses for this generation. Why? Because he can put it right in front of their face and he can make them do things that they shouldn't be doing. Make people, even grown folk, people like me, people like you, get this thing called social media and they begin to misuse it. And the enemy begins to blind them. Right? God says, hey, I want you to see the light of the gospel. Because when you see the light of the gospel, you see me. Number two, second thing the enemy does is he steals God's word from you. He steals God's word from you. Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not what? Understand it. What happens? The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. You see, we're told, and it's the truth because it's God's word, but if we plant the seed in the heart, that they'll never depart from it, right? If someone you love, they used to serve the Lord, and they used to serve Jesus faithfully. Man, they would be here whenever the doors were locked trying to get in. Right? And they served him faithfully, but a thing happened in their life. One thing, one situation, and because they weren't really grounded in their faith, they walked away from God. Right? But we trust and we believe that the seed that was sown in their life is still there, and it is there. But guess what? We've got to help water it. We've got to water that seed. Why? Because if we don't water it, then there's somebody else out there not living for Jesus. There's somebody else out there inviting them to go to this place. There's somebody else out there inviting them to go do this thing that's not good for them. So number two, he steals God's word from you. Number three, the enemy. He sets traps to ensnare you. 2 Timothy 2:26 says this, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You know the enemy has a will, right? We think so many times that God has a will. Well, the enemy has a will, right? And it's got to be done, and he's looking for people to do it, right? And if we're not careful, we have a tendency to look at people and say, you know what, man, you shouldn't be living like that. You shouldn't be doing that thing. If we're not careful, guess what? We become that person. If we don't do the maintenance, that's what I like to call it, the maintenance in our life. If we're not in God's Word, if we're not in relationship with Him, and we're not doing the maintenance, we can become that person. Because why? He needs somebody to do His will. Number four, the enemy fights to stop you. 1 Thessalonians 2:18 says, For we wanted to come to you, certainly Paul did again and again, but what? Satan blocked our way. He stopped us. Right? He wants to stop you. He didn't want you here this morning. Right? Anybody ever noticed Sunday morning is the most difficult morning of the week? Huh? It's the most difficult. Sunday and Monday. I don't like Mondays, but Sunday is the most difficult morning. Man, you and your wife will kill each other trying to get to church. I don't go to church with my wife. I leave before she does. So we don't have that opportunity. But everything goes wrong, right? You wake up late. You get stuck in traffic. You have arguments on the way to church to get your mind not right, to get your heart in a different place. Why? Because the enemy has a plan and he wants to block what God wants to do in your life. And so many times, you know what we do? We let him. We do. We let him. I try to be a joyful person, right? My wife always asks me, man, why is your face always wrinkled up? I don't know. Is it that bad? I'm fine. I'm good, right? And I wake up every day and I know the challenges that are ahead, right? And it drives her crazy. But 99.999% of the days, I wake up and I'm in a good mood. And she's like, what's the matter with you? Why? Right? Just not a morning person. The reason is because I'm not going to let the enemy block what God wants to do in me. Huh? You can take what I got. You can take my house. You can take my money, which I ain't got a lot of, but you can take it. Right? You can take my car, but you know what you can't take? You can't take my joy. You can't steal my joy. No matter what's going on in your life, church, you got to have joy. If not, you will be defeated. If you don't have joy in your heart and you let the enemy, if you let Satan block your way, you're defeated. But you know what he hates? He hates it whenever you have that joy. Why? Because when you have that joy, something begins to rise up inside of you. And you begin to tell yourself, hey, I got this. Hey, I'm going to make it. I ain't going to let no devil, no demon, nobody come in between what God wants to do in me and through me and how He wants to use me. And if He wants to take everything I got, I still got my joy. Still got my joy. Two things they can't take from you. One's your joy and the other's your salvation. We give those away. Can't nobody take them from us. We give those away. So the enemy wants to fight to stop you. Number five, the enemy's plan is what? To destroy you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your grandkids. He wants to destroy your health. He wants to destroy your finances. Why? Because he don't like you. He don't like you. Right? I ain't the smartest dude in the world. Right? I don't proclaim to be the smartest guy within 5 feet of this stage. But if I know that the Bible says that everything good comes from God. Huh? If everything good comes from God, then divorce isn't going to come from God. Then separation isn't going to come from God. Those things come from the enemy. Right? And so we have to remind ourselves, hey, the devil wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy me. That's why I got that target. Remember that target we talked about? That's why I got it on my back. That's why it always feels like things are happening to me because I'm making a difference and he wants to destroy me. Why? Because there's a battle for your soul. And the enemy won't quit until he wins. But we know how it ends. And we know he doesn't win. He doesn't win. I'm almost done. Pastor Shane, you can come. So the spiritual battle. How do we outlast Can we get these lights to do something? Oh, no, it's too bright. Y'all are pretty, though. Some of y'all, not Zach. Check this out, right? Man's got a long-sleeve shirt on. And then a flannel shirt on top of his long-sleeve shirt. I'm about to sweat BBs right here. And I don't even think he's sweating at all. That's crazy. It's crazy. So how do we win this battle? How do we win this war? Right? How do we face it? How do we make it through it? How do we conquer it? Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. This is the only way. It says what? Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray, huh? In what? In what? One more time. In the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. On not some occasions, not a few, not every other day, but what? All occasions. With all kind of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Is that it? If I'm going to win, there's some things I got to do. I got to pull up the shield of faith. I've got to put on the helmet of salvation. Why? Because the enemy is attacking. He's attacking. You see, you look at this is Alabama. Everybody loves football, right? You look at a football player. That football player doesn't just walk out there with nothing on and say, okay, come hit me. He says, okay, I've got shoulder pads and I've got a helmet and I've got pads. I've got stuff that's going to protect me. And when it comes to the spiritual things, right? When it comes to the spiritual warfare, when it comes to the spiritual battle, church, that's taking place for your life and for your grandbaby's life and for your child's life, you got to get ready. You got to get ready. Well, how do we get ready? We hold on to this. We hold on to this and we begin to speak this. Can I tell you, knowing it's not good enough, you got to be able to speak it. You got to be able to speak God's word. When the enemy comes at you and tries to destroy you, you got to be able to speak, for I know the plans he has for me. We got to be able to speak. That's how we win. You know, when it comes to defeating the enemy, when it comes to winning the battle, you know one thing we have to do that I think is really hard for a lot of people? And it's trust God. That's the hardest thing in the world to do. Right? It's hard. Why? Because I can't see it. I can't fix it. I can't do anything. I can't trust this person, much less trust God. Right? God says, hey, just trust me. Just trust me. I've got it. If you're walking through a difficult season this morning, if you're walking through a season you don't understand today, if you're walking through a season that looks bleak and you don't know what the other side looks like, you know what you need to do? You need to trust God. Just trust Him. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to come up with all the answers. Don't try to understand it. Just trust God. Why? Because He's made a way and He hasn't left you alone. The Bible says He's a way maker. He's a way maker. Right, in every situation, every circumstance, He's making a way. I want you to write this down, and I'm through. One thing we feel like, we can go ahead and put it up there. One thing we feel like we have to do is fight for victory. Right? But we don't fight for victory. We fight from what? From victory. We fight from victory. What's that mean? That means the battle has already been won. Jesus said when he said it is finished. We got the victory. Right? So we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Meaning that, hey, he who is in me is greater. He who is in me is already defeated. He that's in me is already conquered. So what's that tell us? That tells us that what Jesus did on the cross takes care of the problem. Takes care of the problem. We fight from what He did. Not for what we're going through, but for what He did. Amen? You know, we sing songs about victory. Some churches, not in our church, people sing victory in Jesus. Right? I love those old songs. Victory. You know, I want to sing it. We'll sing the chorus. Right? Ready? Go, Pastor Shane.
Victory. There you go. In Jesus, my Savior.
Come on. Forever. Don't be bashful.
He bought me and He bought me to His redeeming blood. I don't
Works
know the chorus. I do Him and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath His deep blood. Wow. I don't think I've ever played that song before.
Doesn't it just make you feel good? It makes you feel good. Why? Because He's won the battle. I don't have to fight. I don't have to worry. I don't have to doubt. All I got to do is trust God. But there's another one just came out. Elevation Worship sings it. You want to sing it? Oh.
You haven't told me the name of it yet.
I don't know the name.
It's going to be tough then.
I don't know how it goes. It's in my head.
Victory.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
Trust Him. Trust Him. Know that there's a battle for your life. But I'm going to trust God. There's a battle for my soul. Every day when you wake up, there's a battle. The enemy wants to distract you, to get you turned off of the path that God has for you. He wants you to get you blinded. He wants to get you distracted. But you know what you got to say? I'm going to keep my eyes on the cross. I'm going to keep my eyes on the cross. I'm going to keep my eyes on the cross. Because why? The cross is victory. The cross brings victory. Amen. And every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. You may be here today and you say, you know what? I got some things going on in my life and I need just a little bit of victory today. I want to remind you that the victory's already been won. But you may be here this morning and you say, hey, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Or you may be here and you say, well, I once had one, but I separated myself from God. And I just want to make that right today. I want to just ask Jesus to come into my life for the first time. Or I want to just ask Him to rededicate my life to Him today. Nobody's saying, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. That's not how we do things. I'm just going to ask you right where you are to slip up your hand. Put it up, put it right back down. I see it, I see it, I see it. One more second. I see it. Here's all I want everybody in the room to repeat a prayer after me. Dear Jesus, say it like you mean it. Dear Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to help me be who you created me to be, to live the way you intended for me to live. Jesus, from this day forward, I leave my past in the past and my future in your hands, and I keep my eyes fixed on the cross. Jesus, I love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.